Right. Very good morning to all of you, and welcome to the very first Voices of Future Leaders podcast, coming to you from the MBA students at Anniesfield School of Business from Brownfield College of New Jersey. And this morning, we're so excited because we have two of our brightest and most enthusiastic MBA students here with us, Anthony and David. Welcome to the show. Both of them are going to have a conversation about some of the biggest challenges that they think that leaders may face with future workplaces and future workforces. So once again, welcome Anthony and David, and take it away from here with a little background about each of you and what you're pursuing right now.
Good morning. I'm excited to be here with both of you to have this important conversation. My name is Anthony, and I'm currently in my final semester of the MBA program here at Ramapo. Prior to attending Ramapo, I graduated with a political science degree from the College of New Jersey, and since then I have worked in both community relations for athletics and in different media outlets.
Hello, my name is David. This is my second semester here in the MBA program here at Ramapo, and I completed my undergrad at Marist College in business administration. I've had some experience working in marketing and accounting, and I'm looking forward to partaking in this conversation today and talking about some real issues in the workplace for leaders. So I guess we'll get underway with our first question, Anthony. And what I want to ask you is, what, according to you, could be some of the biggest challenges in the workplace for you as from a leader perspective?
Thanks, David. I think that's a great question. I think one of the biggest challenges facing us in the workplace today is trying to find this balance between microaggressions and an uncomfortable workspace and having an open dialogue. And I believe that can really hinder, having an open conversation and getting various viewpoints from your workers. And to start off with, in order to address this first challenge, I think it's important to have a common understanding of what the term microaggression is. The Webster Dictionary definition of a microaggression is a comment or action that subtly and often unconsciously or unintentionally expresses prejudiced attitude toward a member of a marginalized group, such as a racial minority. The term microaggression has really come to the forefront of American culture over the last decade and has been a hot topic of discussion over the last 5 years. After doing research about the impacts of microaggressions on individuals and the impacts microaggressions can have on the workplace, I've come to the conclusion that they are problematic. However, I do not believe they are as serious or harmful as many in the media would have us believe. We are taught that the purpose of educating society as a whole about these microaggressions is to avoid and prevent prejudice and bigotry towards minority groups. However, when examining polling conducted on minority groups about their thoughts and feelings towards microaggressions, the results recorded heavily show that the majority of these groups do not believe that these microaggressions are harmful or insulting or even detrimental in the workplace. The Cato Institute, an independent think tank run out of Washington, D.C., poll groups of white, Black, and Latino Americans. And the Institute asked these groups to listen to a number of commonly stated microaggressions and report whether or not they believed these statements were offensive or not. The vast majority of respondents reported that they did not feel these statements were insulting or offensive. And in fact, up to 93% of Black Americans and 89% of Latino Americans were in agreement that certain microaggressions were not perceived as offensive at all. The majority of Latino Americans agreed that all of these microaggressions were not deemed offensive, and the majority of Black Americans stated that all but one of these microaggressions were not offensive. Although it is always a good idea to be conscious of the words you use and the comments you make, it seems that the overall stress and anxiety around these microaggressions in the workplace may not necessarily be warranted. When the majority of minority respondents to a major poll were in agreement that microaggressions did not offend them and did not impact their feelings, perceptions, or availability in the workplace, I believe that obviously we should be concerned and we should focus on it, but it shouldn't warrant as much stress and as much time as we're currently seeing. And I would bring back the question to you, what do you feel is one of the biggest challenges in the workplace as a leader now?
Of course, and I think everything you said is completely spot on. And it's a very interesting take in the workplace of like, what's the fine line of what can be said and what can't be said. I think a lot of that has to do with how comfortable you are with your work environment. But we'll definitely get more into that. As for my personal biggest challenge in the workplace as a leader, I think it's being more empathetic with your employees and how much of a big challenge and kind of an underrated challenge that is. In fact, I really didn't learn too much about the idea of empathy in my undergrad. It really didn't. And I'm only my second semester in here at Ramapo, and a lot of my classes have talked about this idea of empathy and how a leader kind of needs to have empathy to be considered a strong one. And when a lot of people talk about empathy, sometimes people think it's something you're kind of born with or you're not, or like you can't like adapt, you can't get empathy, you can't add that to your skill set, but you absolutely can. How you do it varies, but I think all in all, it takes a leader that is relatable and someone that their employees can connect with, not just on a working level, but on a personal level. And I think that is certainly a challenge because if you have a boss that is, you just feel like you can't relate to him in any way, and he doesn't really know you for who you are besides of just your employee. It's hard to kind of build like a good, strong working camaraderie and also just like a fun working relationship. And it also just kind of makes work less enjoyable, in my opinion. I've had bosses before that it's hard to, even though, like I've had an older boss when even when I was working like a young lifeguarding job, I've had o an older boss who like you can't connect to them because, they're just, they're just like an old, it's like a friend of your parents or something. Like, but when I think as a boss, you need to understand your employees and you need to try and find a way to adjust and connect to them depending on who they are. For example, like I think it's important to be empathetic because it can just kind of make that work, everyday work life a lot easier, and it's going to make the job more fun when everybody's kind of connected in a way, not when you kind of dread going to work because you just aren't kind of happy with the environment. So I think, in my opinion, being sorry, not having empathy as a leader is a very crucial mistake, because it can really help you lose kind of the people aspect of work. And having that empathy, being able to understand like other people's like their emotions, their feelings, their thoughts. If you cannot detect that in your working base, I think that's going to be help you become a lot better as a leader and help you motivate them, help you understand them, but also just help build a real working relationship with your employees. So I definitely agree with everything you said about microaggressions. And I think empathy is right up there too in terms of a challenge for a leader. So I guess we'll move into some more questions about microaggressions, Anthony.
Sounds good.
So we'll kind of go back and forth between these two topics. So let me ask you, do you think the views are balanced about microaggressions? Or what are the pitfalls of tiptoeing around everyone, like afraid to say anything for fear of being like politically incorrect? Like, what do you think is that fine line of like, I can say this and like freely, or I'm gonna get judged or be politically kind of like attacked for what I say in the workplace?
Well, before I address those questions, I think it kind of fits in almost with we were talking about with empathy and microaggressions, this ability of an empathetic leader to be able to create a relationship with their coworkers. And that kind of does fit into the regards of microaggressions, because once you can create these bonds and these relationships between a leader and the coworkers below them, you can kind of understand the environment that you're working in and people's different perceptions and feelings, and that can help create a healthy work environment, and that can help you understand certain comments or certain jokes that people might be comfortable with compared to other comments and other jokes that others might not be comfortable with. So I actually do think these two issues and challenges do go hand in hand. But just to kind of get back to the questions you had asked me, I don't believe the views surrounding microaggressions are certainly balanced, as I had discussed a little bit prior, specifically through the media. I mean, if you were to take a look at many major news outlets such as New York Times, CNN, even Forbes magazine, they would have you believe that microaggressions are causing major and detrimental impacts within the workplace of the United States. However, as I was explaining, after examining this polling data of various minority groups, it became quite clear that microaggressions are a problem in the workplace, but they're not nearly as influential or are harmful as those in the media would have us believe. And I do believe there is a major drawback of, focusing on being too politically correct or these microaggressions in the workplace, specifically for the fact that some people will be afraid of the repercussions of what they say and they won't say anything at all. They're scared of potential consequences or the blowback, and they might be too concerned to pitch a new idea or contribute to a conversation because they're unsure how their statements might be interpreted or might be perceived, and they'd rather be quiet and not express an idea than speak up and express the wrong idea and are fearful of the consequences that could come from that idea. And just to ask back to you, what do you think the impacts of not having an empathetic leader are in the workplace? And do you think this could tie in at all with a conversation around microaggressions and being politically correct in the workplace?
Sure, I absolutely agree with everything you just said. I do think it's tricky, this idea of part of what you can say and what you can place or what you feel comfortable and confident in saying is tricky, and it varies by the person. And I think empathy does very much connect to what you're talking about. I think a lot of it stems from the environment that your leader as a leader in the workplace, what do you set for your employees? I think it's up to us as leaders to make sure that the work environment we set for employees is open and able to converse and talk and even talk about key issues. I think that's important aspects to work because I think it can build camaraderie between employees and the workplace. And I mean, people, not everybody's going to agree on everything. But I think there has to be a fine line of like everyone being able to have their own opinions and not feeling like they can't speak up on anything. I think it's important to make sure that your employee base knows that they have a voice, and that they're not just delegated to, just working and not kind of talking about what they feel, or it could be something work related, it could be something not, outside of work related, politics, sports, anything. So I think the impacts of not having an empathetic leader, I think it could form a really toxic work environment in a way. The last thing you want to do is work for a boss that you don't really or you don't you dread to see every day. And I think it takes for a leader who's empathetic, I think it takes one, like I mentioned earlier, it takes understanding who your employees are. And getting to know them on a personal level, more of the working level. So whether that's maybe like, I'll get into more later how ways you can build that. But I think you need to kind of build. That's why it takes building a relationship outside of work. It takes building a personal relationship because that's going to help make the camaraderie of the team even stronger. It's going to help people's goals align to kind of work together more, opposed to just working for themselves. And I think, if you don't have a leader aesthetic, it's so easy to just kind of go through motions and, just not really care about what you do because you're not really into it. You're not doing it for the right reasons. So I think it's so crucial. And I don't think it's an issue a lot of people will think about because a lot of people might just think like, I don't really care. who my boss is. I'm just going to go to work, clock in, do my, 8, 9 hours, and then I'm going to clock out, I'm going to go home. And I completely understand that. But I also think that, it's important for your working, you're going to spend a lot of your life as an employee. So I think you don't want to waste that time. You might as well make the best of that time and enjoy it. So I think it's up to the leader of any company or any group to make sure that they're not only pushing their employees to work, but they're also doing it the right way. And they're doing it in a respectful manner where they actually care about their employees and they, value their opinions, which kind of gets into microaggressions, which you're talking about, and kind of setting a firm kind of standard that, is loose, but it's also serious when it needs to be. Just talking about, I'm just going to go into how you could address this in a way. I think to be more for a leader, for someone who might not have empathy or struggle finding empathy, I think ways you could build it are definitely just outside of work activities or potentially during the day, like just finding time to kind of get your group or your employees to kind of take some time away from work just to kind of have regular conversation, which plays right what you're talking about. And I think that is going to build a stronger unit at work. It's going to build morale. It's going to build, people working together when you can talk about things outside of work and, have open conversation. I think that's so important. And also from a leader perspective, that helps you kind of figure out who your employees really are, like what makes them, motivated, what makes them kind of go. Like, what is it, what makes them sad, what makes them happy, what makes them angry? It's so important because it gives your employees an opportunity to, get to know each other and also feel more comfortable in this working space. But it also is so important for the leader because they can see who their employees really are and, what are their personalities, what are their tempers, stuff like that. And that's so important with empathy because the more of an understanding you have for your employees, the more they're going to respect you and the more that the work operations are just going to kind of flow. It's going to feel not like work, but more like something you want to be a part of when everybody's working together and getting along and having a fine line between working, but also enjoying. And I think that's really important too. So I'm going to flip it back to you, Anthony. This idea of microaggressions and how it kind of connects to empathy. Do you think you could provide some examples of the negative impact of microaggressions? And could you explain maybe why it's reached this point, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And before I reach those or answer those two questions, I just like to say, I love the point you brought up about how you kind of have to create like these interpersonal relationships between employers and leaders, and that helps create a healthy work environment and a healthy space, and that could just overall improve the happiness and the enjoyment that an individual gets out of work. Like you said, as people were spending 8, 9 hours a day with their coworkers, and although you don't want your coworkers or your job to necessarily be replacing personal relationships or family relationships, you are spending a lot of time with these individuals. So you want there to be a healthy relationship with those individuals, even though it is, professional, it is a professional relationship, but you don't want it to be a toxic professional relationship. You want it to be, a happy and healthy professional relationship. So like you said, that's obviously the goal. And I think that's a great aspect to focus on for sure. And like you had asked, what are some negative impacts of being politically correct in the workplace or focusing on microaggressions too much in the workplace? And I just have a short story from a friend of mine. He was he worked for a beverage distribution company, a major beverage distribution company. I won't name the company. But about 3 years ago, some corporate officers decided that their branch needed to undergo sensitivity training. And this was also taking place at the same time my friend's team was attempting to re-sign a major client. The team leader, she had more than 25 years of experience for the company. She decided that she did not want to undergo the sensitivity training and left the company. The client that they were attempting to re-sign dropped out of the negotiations, citing the lack of comfortability working with this team, who no longer had a long-term connection with the team leader. And that ended up being a cost of more than $15 million to the company. And I mean, you know, like we touched on, obviously, it's very difficult to try to find this common ground or define this fine line of, you know, where to be politically correct in the workplace. And, you know, obviously, you want specific trainings to keep a healthy work environment. But this training that unfortunately everybody was not comfortable with on my friend's team ended up costing the company $15 million, which is a huge account. And, you know, it's a difficult situation. And you kind of pointed to, you know, how do I think it's reached this point? And I think there are, you know, many reasons why the concern of microaggressions and political correctness have reached this point in our workplace and society. However, I do believe that there are two distinct factors currently at play, you know, that have such a heavy influence on our current situation and our current standing. The first being the lack of accountability for, you know, inappropriate comments and harassment throughout the workplace over the past decades. I know back in the 80s and the 90s when my mother and aunts were in the workplace, it wasn't unusual for them to face some sexual harassment or inappropriate comments from their superiors and even their coworkers, which often went completely unaddressed. When you go through a time period like that and there's no accountability, obviously, as there should be, there's going to be a lot of people working towards having accountability to make sure instances like that no longer take place. And you get such a heavy push to limit encounters like that, which there should be, that you know, you might reach a point where it becomes a difficult situation that maybe certain things that aren't necessarily as offensive or as harassing start to be looked at in a negative light as well. And so, like we said, finding that balance is a difficult one for sure again. And I think you know, with anything within our society today, there's a heavy polarization in the country. If you look at any aspect in regards to anything with American life, whether it be masks, vaccination, education, climate change, voting reform, you're always going to have this certain aspect of a group of people feel strongly in regards to it being good, and a group of people feel strongly in regards to it being bad. And you know, you're going to have these two extremely polarizing viewpoints, and you're going to have a lot of backlash, and you're going to have a lot of anger and confrontation about whatever issue it may be in regards to that. And you know, political correctness and microaggressions in the workplace are no different from any of these other issues. And unfortunately, I think our country and society currently is in a very toxic space when it comes to that. And it will be probably, you know, a difficult road to try to get back to this mid ground of where we can have, you know, open conversations about, you know, the midpoint for these issues. And, you know, I would ask almost kind of in regards to that, do you think, you know, it would be a good idea for leaders to be retrained in empathetic practices? And how do you think that could almost help coworkers, you know, try to find middle grounds on issues that they don't necessarily agree with?
Yeah, absolutely. And I really agree with everything you said. And that's a really interesting story you brought up. I think it's definitely all the main issues you brought up, like COVID and masks and stuff like that, it can get really heated in conversation. when opinions differ. So I think it's definitely important to kind of, find ways to where it can be kind of talked about and where people can just kind of respect other people's opinions and things like that. But moving on back to your question, I think leaders, this idea of like retrained is kind of tricky just because of that word. I think that it's kind of more of a mental reality check more than actual training that would help. And by that, I mean, I don't think you can teach empathy, but I think you learn empathy more through experience more than anything. Like, I think it's hard to just sit a leader down in a room and have somebody, tell them how to be empathetic, because it's kind of something that's hard to just kind of like engrave in somebody's head, but you certainly can pick it up as you evolve as a person and as a leader. I think one thing, if we want to call it retraining, it just takes I think, like, if I'm a leader and I don't think I'm very empathetic and I'm having a tough time, getting on a common ground with my working base or my group, I think I would want to take a step back and kind of evaluate what am I doing now and why isn't that working as much as maybe someone who is doing a lot better. And by that, I mean, I think that it, like I mentioned, it's something you learn through experience. And I think you just kind of have to find those experiences. I think one thing that can help is kind of maybe taking, you're going out to dinner with your employees or maybe after work, Fridays, parties at work, or, whether it's, just, like an open cocktail hour or something, or a dinner, or it could be, something, some kind of fun activity. I think that can really help build empathy, because you're not going to build empathy by just, reading about it in a textbook. You're going to build empathy by, actually putting yourself out there and actually like making an effort to learn about your employees and who they are. And I think that's kind of where leaders need to be. And I think it just starts with trying to be open with your employees and learn more about them, asking about their days and checking in with them every now and then, making sure that, everything in the office is up to their standards and it's okay, and making sure that they're okay, not only at work, but in their personal lives. I think those are some key things that a leader needs to do. I think before you need to be, they always say, from a boss perspective, your boss isn't your friend. But I think it does take kind of being a friend to kind of build that empathy, because you're not going to have empathy for somebody that you don't really care about. And I think that kind of the thing that leaders need to do is just bridge that gap between work and personal. And to realize that the more personal you can make it, the more you're going to learn about them, the more you're going to understand who they are as people, what makes them tick in terms of emotions, what's going to get them working at their best. So I think the idea of being retrained and what kind of training I would suggest is not so much a thorough like training. It's more of trying to adjust in terms of what you're already doing. So I would definitely try to incorporate more group activities, more group conversations outside of work, even if it's at work. Just, people can put their things down and, let's just have a conversation about something. And also, pizza parties, cocktail hours, things to make the work environment more loose and fun, so that people can kind of, learn to get to know each other on a human level. And especially so a leader can understand who his people are on a working human level. It's kind of almost like a coach with his players in like a sports aspect of it. Like, players want to play for a coach who, they can relate to, and someone that they know cares about them. And the same thing kind of works in the working world, where you want to work for somebody who, actually cares about you outside of work and cares about your personal life. So I think it's definitely doing more group activities and building team camaraderie in that kind of way, as well as making sure that you're checking in on their personal lives and making sure that they're okay and, nothing's you know, hindering them from being the best that they can be at work and things like that. So that's what I would suggest to kind of build empathy as a leader. And I think just doing those little things will go a long way in making the workplace just an overall better place, and also making your employees feel more, more, you know, loved and welcomed and things like that. So I'll throw it back to you, Anthony. What are, you know, your views on microaggression versus, you know, everyday incivility and bullying? And like, how can you kind of differentiate it? And maybe what would your solutions be to deal with these, you know, misperceptions?
Yeah, for sure. Before I touch on that real quick, I just really enjoyed the point you made about empathy not necessarily being something you could study or read in a textbook, but something that you have to learn, you know, through personal interaction. And I think that's a great point, because you know, obviously you could read up on these theories and you could study how to handle yourself in certain situations, but at the end of the day, it comes down to how can a leader you know, talk to their coworkers, and how could they make coworkers feel comfortable, and how can they build these relationships? And you know, that's not done, like you said, through a textbook or through the computer. That has to be done on a personal, human to human level. And I think that, you know, obviously the only way to do that is you know, through a conversation between the leader and the worker. But just to kind of go back to the questions you had asked me, what are my views on microaggressions versus everyday incivility and bullying? I think, you know, I think microaggressions take place accidentally through a person's comments or statements. You know, like I said, the textbook definition is a microaggression is done by accident, and it's not done, you know, with the intent to harm or insult an individual. And if you compare that to incivility or bullying, that's most likely to take place purposefully, you know, with the intent to cause harm or to intimidate an individual. And I personally feel as though microaggression is not necessarily on the same field as bullying, because you know, one's an accident, one's done on purpose. And I believe you know, if you were to focus on how to differentiate these, I think, you know, microaggression would take place one time, like I said, it wouldn't be done purposefully, it was an accident. I think you know, bullying is a consistent comment or a consistent statement that you know a person has a problem with, and you continue to make that comment or make that statement. And I think, you know, a way to try to address you know, these issues with employees is that as a leader, you have to make it clear that you can have an open workspace, and that everyone could be able to come forward about any instances that make that person feel uncomfortable. And you're going to have a conversation about what took place, and you're going to have an understanding that the first time it happens, you're going to have to apologize for whatever comment was made. And you're going to have to understand that a comment like that is no longer warranted in the workplace, so it can't happen again. And if, you know, a similar statement will take place, then you're getting into the realm of, okay, this is bullying, and there's going to be more serious and more intended consequences. But in order to, you know, reach a place like that, like I said, you have to make it clear to all workers on the floor that you can come forward about any issues you have, and we're going to have a conversation. And, you know, that conversation will be with the purpose to understand what went wrong, what someone found inappropriate. And that needs to be understood going forward, that, you know, comments and statements like that are no longer allowed on the floor. And then, you know, from that viewpoint, you know what's appropriate now for your coworkers, you know what's not appropriate for your coworkers. And that line's been drawn, and you know not to cross it, because if you cross it, there will be more severe consequences. So I guess I just, throw it back to you real quick, Dave, and I'd ask, maybe what's a key takeaway that you would like to just share with every student or future leader that's listening to this conversation today?
Of course. And I totally, agree with everything that you've been saying about microaggressions, and I think it's just so important. And so a key takeaway that I would provide to every student and future leader listening today regarding empathy is probably that it's something that is going to take experience before anything. And an empathetic leader is one that is relatable. And when someone is relatable, it's a lot, the working motivations are there, and it's a lot easier to wanna, contribute to a collective when the person at the top is someone that you can identify with and you can like kind of respect on a personal level and enjoy. And I think that's what's really important. And also not to let the working aspect of employee boss get away from the fact that you can't be, have a well relation, working relationship in the office and outside the office, because when you have that understanding and respect for one another outside of work, it's going to make inside work go a lot smoother. So I just think it's really important to be an empathetic leader. I'd be being a leader, being able to understand who your employees are and learn, about them and what makes them go, what makes them stop, and things like that. So I think that's it's certainly very important to be an empathetic leader, and it's something that you're going to learn through experience. So I definitely would look to whether it's, maybe you're a student and you're thinking, how can I, develop that? I think one way you could is, maybe you're working in a group project. Just make sure you're finding ways to, do more than just work on a project together. You're trying to ask, questions about who these people are, who are these other students. You're building relationships, and that's going to be something that really bridges the gap, and will make, being a better leader in the long run. So those would be my concluding remarks. But Anthony, let me ask you, what would be a key takeaway that you could provide for every student and future leader listening today?
Yeah, for sure. And I think just a quick point, your discussion about the key aspect of building relationships is absolutely so important, especially in regards, to being an empathetic leader, but also to kind of walking this fine line between, what's appropriate and what's not necessarily appropriate in the workplace, because that fine line will shift depending on the office, depending on the workers, depending on what people are comfortable with. And just to kind of touch on what you were asking, I think it's important that we realize what the United States is and what our society is. If you were to turn on the TV or scroll through social media, I feel like there is such a backlash against the country, and there is a sizable percentage of the country that feels like our nation is bad and not moving in the right direction. And I would challenge that. I'd push back on that a little bit. I mean, according to the World Population Review, the United States has the most diverse population and culture of any country in the world, with more than 100 million citizens. And I think that statement is so important, and such a special aspect of where we stand within the world. We have the most diverse population and the most culture of any country with more than 100 million citizens. That diversity of, ethnicity, background, viewpoints, cultures, experiences, that could add, such a beautiful and promising aspect to the workplace. And, if we're scared to be able to openly discuss these differences and to openly discuss our experiences because of the pushback that we could get, we're doing ourselves a real harm in in the possibility of what we can achieve. You know, all these different backgrounds and different experiences could help flourish the workplace. And this fear of, you know, not being comfortable to discuss these differences, I believe, is really detrimental to our country and to the ability of our businesses going forward in the future. And I think that's just something to think about, you know, as you're getting ready to finish school or as you're working, to really just understand how special and how unique of a place the United States is and the workplace within the United States, and to try to really challenge yourself to be comfortable to have these conversations with people from different cultures and people from different backgrounds, so that, you know, you could try to merge your experiences into creating the best outcome possible in the workplace today.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
I think that's gonna conclude our discussion on these crucial working issues. So thank you all for listening and for having us on the podcast. And we hope you enjoy, and hope you can take away something here today and, you know, learn something and becoming a better leader of tomorrow. So thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.